The San Francisco 49ers advanced to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, defeating those Dallas Cowboys 23-17. Our takeaways, key players, key plays, biggest moments in this one, and of course, game balls from Wild Card Weekend right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. We're back home. We're back at our podcast studios, Croc. Apologies to those fans out there that were hoping to have the first thing early Monday morning Rapid React Pod or the post-game live YouTube Rapid React Pod Sunday night. But I was on an airplane, Croc. You were traveling from the stadium in Dallas with the 49ers victory there. And wow. What an environment. 2 weeks in a row for the 49ers. Really, the playoffs started early for them in Week 18. There was so much red at SoFi Stadium. And again, the 49ers fans traveled extremely well to Dallas this time as the Niners beat the Cowboys 23-17. Looked great early. I think some folks got a little bit tight in the end, a little bit anxious at the end of that football game. The 49ers came out on top. We'll get through all the big plays and all the big moments there and give out some game balls here. Croc, the first thing, though, I want to know about is what was the environment like in Dallas as the 49ers went out the road again and won another huge football game?
Yeah, it was a good one. And interesting, you know, there was a huge crowd at Jerry's World. You know, the stadium. They did the whole whiteout thing, which I think helped the 49ers because the red popped a little bit more.
And white is the 49ers' secondary color, too. So if you look at a crowd, you see red and white. You look on the field, which team's red and white? It's the 49ers.
Right. So, you know, it was cool. It was cool from that standpoint. I thought the 49ers fans were loud. I thought they were really good. But like you said, towards the end of the game, the Cowboys, they started cranking up. When Jimmy Garoppolo threw the interception, it was almost deafening in there. The crowd got crazy, obviously, in favor of Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, it was an interesting game and really kind of a tale of two halves, but the 49ers were able to pull it off.
Let's start there because, at the very end of the game, too, when the referees said, "That's the game. That's the end of the game. Game over." And the crowd roared. It sounded like a 49ers home game. And the funniest thing about all of it was them saying, "Game over." And then the refs just run off the field as quick as they could, getting stuff thrown at them. Bad look by Dak Prescott after the game, saying it was good on the fans for throwing stuff at the refs. Like, come on, dude. That's definitely not where you want to point the fingers. It was not a good game played by the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't want to even put it on the Cowboys for losing that game. The 49ers went to Dallas and won that game. They dominated. If this was a boxing match, Croc, I'll put it this way. If this was a boxing match and you had three judges giving their scorecards at the end of the game, it would be unanimous. The 49ers beat up on the Dallas Cowboys, right? Even though it looked like a one-score game and it was close, and the Dallas Cowboys were right there, and they never made that throw into the end zone that could have put them over the top in that game. But the 49ers dominated. They credit to the Cowboys for bending, not breaking. That's kind of been the 49ers brand of defense. But those drives that ended in points, but they were field goals instead of touchdowns. The 49ers weren't able to throw that haymaker in the first half to really put the game away and allow that little crack in the second half for the Dallas Cowboys to come back and make it a football game.
Yeah, you know, that was one of those games, and the 49ers have kind of had those games, and I don't want to be the guy to get on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo played well, but one thing I've kind of noticed in some of these games, and Jimmy doesn't put teams away. The run game does. So if there's times in games where he may need that throw to really put a team away, he doesn't really have that play. And we've seen it kind of rear his ugly head, whether it was a game like Tennessee where ultimately they did lose that game, or sometimes it's a game like the Rams game, right, where, oh, he's able to come back and do some things. And it's just interesting how – with Jimmy Garoppolo, a lot of times in games, like, there's two versions of him that show up. And ultimately, those two versions make up what Jimmy Garoppolo is, which is a guy that plays well for stretches and has weird moments. And for whatever reason, he lets teams hang around. Like, that Tennessee game, that should have been a blowout, right? Like, just the way it you know, it was constructed, how the 49ers came out. They punched him in the mouth. They're driving down again. Oh, interception in the end zone. Oh, interception, short, setting up a short field. And then you look at this Dallas Cowboy game where 49ers, I mean, they just boom, boom. I mean, you have them on the ropes. And you have an opportunity up 23-7. You got a Brandon Ayuk wide open on a blaze out. And you just, you airmail it. And that missed throw right there allowed to kind of open up the door for a Cowboys team. And then they get a field goal. Then things start getting a little tighter. And all of a sudden, oh, man, we have a ball game because we weren't able to put them away. And ideally, I think if you ask Kyle Shanahan, he would like to put teams away on the ground because the more you have to throw the ball with Jimmy Garoppolo, some weird things can – they're just liable to happen.
Right.
And
yeah.
It did.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan wants to play keep away. It's the way this team's built. It's the way this game went for the 49ers, and you really couldn't have scripted it better in that regard for the 49ers, especially the way it started, just dominating. The way I thought about it was it looked like the 49ers were a train and the Cowboys were just standing on the tracks in the first quarter of that game, jumping out to a 10-0 lead. The Dallas Cowboys could not stop the 49ers. Jimmy G, yeah, and you're right. It's good Jimmy, it's bad Jimmy. We've seen it so much. We know who he's going to be. And all the, especially in the second half, the interception there, it's like the only way they can get back in is if you throw that interception, right? It's the one thing you can't do. It's one thing that can't happen. We've seen that from Jimmy Garoppolo. He ended up with not a great looking stat line. Actually, I think he played better than what his stat line ends up looking like, because he was good Jimmy in the first half and it was throwing some darts out there, and it was vintage Jimmy Garoppolo efficiency. 16 of 25 passing, 172 yards, no touchdowns, and the interception. It was all about,
I think it's his second half. His yeah. second half is what I saw some numbers people tweet out. And again, I'm not Jimmy to me. I've accepted what Jimmy Garoppolo is. So my expectations maybe aren't as high as other people to see him like play well for an entire game. But he threw for like 30 something yards in the second half or something like that. Like
right.
just something like a wild number. And when you're trying to put your foot on the team's neck and really put them away, that's not ideal.
Actually, you know what I want to talk about really quick? You mentioned it there for a second, was the missed throw to Brandon Ayuk. And there's been some arguments out there about that play. And I don't know if we've gotten any confirmation from the team in any of the post-game stuff. And I need to catch up on some of that stuff because I did fly home right after that game from Utah. And again, apologies for not having the podcast out last night.
We were both on the plane. Yeah. I flew out right after the game. I had to book it to the airport and beat the traffic and then
exactly.
you know, get home. I didn't get home till like 1 a.m.
Oh, man, I had a crazy weekend. It was so fun. And I was skiing and I was watching some games on my phone, like on the ski lift and on the mountain, if I could get any kind of reception up there, and then trying to find little lodges and places to watch part of games here, part of games there throughout the weekend, and then skied down the mountain in Park City right to our lodge where we were staying so I could get there in time to watch the 49ers game. And then I had to get a lift to the airport, so I was watching the third quarter and halftime on my phone, and it was crazy. It was such a fun weekend, and I'm sore from all the skiing. I got to get into better shape, Croc. But man, it was so much fun watching all the games and seeing all the fans of all the teams everywhere. The Buffalo Bills fans, by the way, at one bar were loud. They traveled, I think, as good as anybody, as good as 49ers fans travel. Buffalo Bills fans travel well. I guess they just show up wherever it's cold. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, they showed up with throwing things on the field.
How about, real quick, Croc, I want to get to this because yeah. before we get to the next segment, I want to talk about the 49ers defense, I want to talk about the run game, obviously, but that route, there's been some, do we blame Ayuk, do we blame Jimmy Garoppolo for that route? Because he toasted Trayvon Diggs, he was wide open, but was that a sluggo, was that the post corner, was he supposed to take it to the flag, was that the blaze out, as you mentioned, because the way I saw it live was that it was just wide open and a bad throw. Then you watch back, you're like, oh yeah, you're right. You know, he flattened it out. What was it? Because if that's a post corner, what is Ayuk doing? If it's a blaze out, why is Jimmy throwing it? You know, is he just throwing it to daylight? Does he have to get rid of the ball too quick and can't see a clear picture of where the out was going to be? Because Ayuk ran it like a blaze out. And for those of you who don't know, a blaze out is sort of like a post corner. It's a double move where you look like, make it look like you're going to the post, but instead of going to the corner, you break it all the way off flat like it's an out route. So it's a blaze out. And it's a tough route to run, but if you run it well and you can threaten a defense deep, that route is nearly undefeated for guys that can run it well. Julio Jones is the first name that comes up with the blaze out. It's the guy I think of. And Ayuk broke him off there. But it's hard to break it all the way to the sideline because he didn't break it straight out. So which was it to you, Kruk?
Every time I've seen it, the guy flattens the route off. So whether it's, you know, you talked about Julio Jones. I watched Julio Jones talk about it on Hard Knocks with how to run the route. I remember against the Packers a few years back, Marquise Goodwin, he ran a terrific blaze out where he was wide open. And every time I've seen it run, no matter who it is, they flatten that route off. I've never seen anybody take it up. Now, I did see our guy Guy Haberman from the Haberman and Middle Call podcast. He got a message from a former receiver, a former NFL receiver, who said, if you're open like that, you want to take it up. And I could see that being the case too. But no matter how open Julio Jones was, he always flattened it off. I never saw Julio take it upfield. So I don't know if Kyle Shanahan coaches it up in a specific way to where you flatten that route off. But if he's based off what I've seen from Julio and other guys running it for the 49ers, Ayuk was right. Maybe I'm wrong. But
yeah,
now, if you have that rapport with your quarterback where it's like, hey, I just beat this guy so bad, just throw it up and I'm going to take it upfield, then yeah. But clearly, Ayuk wasn't thinking that. He flattened it off like I've seen everybody else do, and the ball was just high.
Yeah, I guess I could see that where there's an option there, and you would have to have that rapport, and maybe that's where it was, where Jimmy saw it, that it was open deep, so he throws it deep, and you're supposed to be able to see that and read it if you're a receiver. But that seems extremely difficult to be able to pull that off, and obviously the 49ers did not pull that off, so maybe that was the explanation that they were both sort of right and both sort of wrong there. Anyway, let's move on to the ground game, which was the key for the 49ers winning this game, as we predicted on the Keys to Victory pod, Kruk. We'll get to what the 49ers defense did to thwart the Dallas Cowboys offense and our game balls from Wild Card Weekend next. But I want to let you guys know about Built Bar, which was something I utilized on the slopes of Park City, Utah this weekend. It's the perfect snack. You put it in your jacket and you get hungry up there on top of the mountain. You get all that protein, but it's good for you as well. 17 grams of protein in most Built Bars, but only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs in most Built Bars, and so many delicious flavors to choose from. My favorite, peanut butter, brownie, coconut, almond, raspberry, cookies and cream. There's all kinds of specialty flavors coming out all the time at Built.com. So go check it out. If you're not sure what flavor you want, you can get a mixed box of Built Bars as well. And if you're trying to stick to those New Year's resolutions, this is a healthy snack that tastes delicious that you can feel good about eating and can help you keep those resolutions into February. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Woo, how about that run game, Kruk? Let me ask you this first of all. Is Deebo Samuel the best running back in the NFL? And I'm not saying that like all willy-nilly. Legitimately, if you give him all the carries as a true running back, he's in the class of Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb and Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry, in my opinion. He is an unbelievably good, flat-out running back. Vision, instincts, power, speed, burst, unbelievable.
I think the way they utilize him, they've done more like outside stuff to keep him out of harm's way of just taking a big pounding. They have started to do, because it kind of started to get a little predictable with the outside runs, they've done that like toss counter where they toss it to him, but then he's able to cut it back, and he's done a terrific job of doing that. I think ultimately what it comes down to is he's just one of the most talented guys on the field. And on my YouTube channel, I actually had this conversation before. Is he a generational talent? Because to me, a generational talent is someone that is just so unique that you can't find another person like that for a while, right? Like that person that is able to play at a high level and do something very unique, better than most other people, you know, that's generational to me. And I think that's what Deebo Samuel is. He legitimately could be a terrific running back. Like, he could be a good running back. And he's just as good of a receiver as he is a running back. I came away from that game thinking he was the best football player on that field. And I think that's high, high praise with the type of talent really both of these teams have.
I talked about that before. PFF put out the grades for Trent Williams, who broke their system highest graded player they've ever had for a full season. 98.2 grade this year for Trent Williams. And welcome back, by the way. Congratulations, by the way, to Trent Williams on his first ever playoff win. That's pretty unbelievable in his 11-year career. Also, congratulations to Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the first 49ers quarterback to win a playoff game on the road in Dallas before, too. So, Jimmy W. But PFF had the argument, you know, maybe offensive player of the year should be Trent Williams. And I thought, well, that would be something you could argue if Debo Samuel wasn't always also on his same team, because I would give it to Debo. I think Debo was clearly the 49ers MVP this year. And it seems like weekly, every week, and we saw it throughout the year, I think Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel go back into their lab during the week and are like, dang, we can do more and more and more with this guy. This is unbelievable. And it's a little bit scary, but look, right now it's the playoffs. All hands on deck. You got to go win a football game. Give the ball to your best player. Through an entire season, I don't think you want to give the ball to Debo Samuel 10 times a game, but you're trying to win a playoff game. Look, you've got all spring and summer to rest, so give him the ball as many times as you can. But, and I'm glad, speaking of PFF, I'm glad Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus did the math so I didn't have to, because I was wondering about this. He said if you took Debo Samuel's rushing efficiency numbers and extrapolated them to John Taylor's workload, he'd have finished with 2,102 rushing yards, 43 touchdowns, and 111 broken tackles. Like, that's how crazy good. He's like 7 to 10 yards per carry Debo Samuel is right now. That's what's blown me away, is the vision as a true runner. That run he made where it was supposed to go to the other side of the field wide, and he stopped to cut it back across the middle. I mean, that's amazing. Most people don't see that and make that play. Just phenomenal. So fun to watch him play.
And not just the, you know, the vision on that, but the acceleration and speed to be able to outrun two guys who had angles and just blow right past them. You know, the 49ers, you know, we talk about his usage and how unique he is. On the first play of the game, they threw a slant to him. He picked up like 12, 13 yards. It got called back because both guys moved and they gave the 49ers 5 yards. Well, the next two plays, he carries the ball in the backfield. Like, not Elijah Mitchell, it's Debo Samuel. You know, so it has been awesome, because a lot of times you tell coaches, just get the ball in your best player's hands. And they figured out every way to do that. And, you know, he finished the game over 100 yards, a touchdown, which was, you know, really kind of an explosive play. Just a special talent.
Yeah,
special
and it's really cool to see some of the ways.
Get paid special money.
Yeah, he's going to get paid a lot of money. And it's also really cool to see the ways that they're able to get him the ball. And I think a lot of the league, and I bet you next season, we're going to see more wide receivers playing running back. We saw it with Cordero Patterson becoming basically a pure running back. I saw Jamar Chase this weekend do some very Debo Samuel-like things. We're going to start seeing that a lot. That's, you know, positionless football. I think the 49ers are ahead of the curve on that one. And especially the way you can make 11 personnel into 21 personnel and screw up the numbers and screw up what the defense is trying to do on any given play. It's pretty fantastic what the 49ers are doing right now. And that's not even to mention Elijah Mitchell, who was thumping it. I love watching Elijah Mitchell run, too. He's so good. 27 carries, 96 yards. There were some difficult runs there, but he kept coming, kept coming. 27 carries. Nobody else got a carry. Well, I guess Jimmy Garoppolo did have the one-yard QB sneak there, but 10 for Debo, 27 for Elijah Mitchell. Nobody else was carrying the ball for the 49ers. They went with the horses, and it wasn't those 96 yards were tough yards. He had the touchdown run, just phenomenal on the ground, 38 rushes for 169 yards, two touchdowns for the 49ers. The longest was a 26-yarder. That was from Debo Samuel. That was the game from start to finish, the 49ers ground game, and the Dallas Cowboys could not stop it.
You talked about Elijah Mitchell and his numbers, and, you know, his yards per carry wasn't crazy, but, you know, it was clear that at some point with the 49ers being up 23-7, it's like, well, they're going to kind of run the ball, and they've gotten in other situations where they just had to run the ball. And I think that kind of lowered his yards per carry with everybody from the Cowboys just kind of, you know, just slicing in their A gap, B gap, filling all the holes. The one thing that I've been extremely impressed with Elijah Mitchell, and I know a lot of people talk about, oh, the vision from him. Early on, it was clear, and we talked about it, you know, he was kind of just running into guys' backs. Like, if the hole was there, he would hit the hole and have a nice run. There sometimes would be holes maybe that he could hit, but it's like, I don't really want to do too much dancing, or, they told me to just put my foot in the ground and get forward, so that's what I'm going to do. I thought there were a lot of runs that he missed out on, you know, being able to hit something where it, you know, he maybe he picked up 2 yards, but hey, dude, you could have picked up 8. You know, now if there's 8 yards to be had, he's getting those 8 yards. His vision is so terrific. He's so patient. He looks so much more comfortable with whatever they're asking of him to do. He runs through arm tackles. There are several plays where he might get hit and it looks like it's going to be a 1 yard gain. And he does like a little twist and spin, then runs through another person and ends up getting 5 yards. I think he has improved so much throughout this year. It's been really cool to see.
Absolutely. See him get better and better. And he started off really well. And there was a couple of runs from both Debo and Elijah Mitchell, where it was like, oh, he's going to break this one. They were this close to even having more success running the ball because there was a couple of arm tackles and just those extra yards. And it was like, oh man, one little misstep here away. They were just able to bring him down, or they might have broken a 70-yard run or something like that. So just phenomenal. The 49ers dominated him up front. So, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, Debo, Mitchell, the entire offensive line, team effort there, dominating those Dallas Cowboys up front. Next, let's talk a little bit about that D'Amico Ryans defense and give out some game balls. Quick peek ahead, though, Croc. 5.5 points at betonline.ag. Those 49ers, you can get 5.5 points on the road with the favored Green Bay Packers next week. Another fantastic matchup. In fact, all the games next week are going to be really good in the divisional round of playoffs, and you can get in on all of that action and anything else you want beyond that in 2022 at betonline.ag, which remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website, so sign up there today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. Not only football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, all of your favorite Vegas casino games as well at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Croc. D'Amico Ryans. Like, look, Mike McDaniel is getting a head coach interview. I think there are some GMs, some owners out there with the opportunity to watch all of these games in the playoffs, watching the 49ers, watching what the 49ers defense did to the team that scored the most points per game in the NFL this year, the Dallas Cowboys, and holding them to, 17 total points in this game. I imagine there's some GMs and some owners that are in a meeting right now. Been, yeah, you know what? Let's call up Kyle Shanahan and request that interview with D'Amico Ryans, because just a phenomenal effort from really everybody on that 49ers defense, the corners, the safeties. Bosa out, no problem. Charles Omenihu comes in, and DJ Jones, and Eric Armstead, and Arden Key, and Samson Abelcott. Like, just the whole group was so good in this game beyond Bosa. Seeing Al-Shaair and Greenlaw back there making plays. By the way, luckily, seeing Fred Warner, the back-to-back. So Garoppolo interception, Fred Warner on the ground in obvious pain. That was like a very low moment for 49ers fans on Sunday. They pulled out the win. Then seeing Fred Warner at the end of the game jumping up and down was a good sign. We'll find out more about his ankle injury. We'll find out more about Nick Bosa's concussion. But even with those star players out late in that game, everyone else stepping up, just a total team effort on defense, holding I think it was one catch for CeeDee Lamb in that game. Dalton Schultz was the leading receiver, 7 catches for 89 yards. And
that was that big catch he had at the end of the game. He had a nice catch and run.
Yeah, a 38-yarder there for him. There was the only hiccup, I think, defensively was what we've talked about before. One of the ways that the teams can get the 49ers is that slot fade, and it was Amari Cooper beating Kaywan Williams, but Kaywan Williams came back. I think it was the next series with an interception, a fantastic catch, by the way. Maybe some DBs do have good hands, just an all-around awesome team effort from the 49ers defense.
Yeah, D'Amico Ryans, man, he has his defense really cooking on all cylinders. You know, all week, you know, I would get in spaces on Twitter, or I would talk to people, and they'd ask, well, how are the 49ers going to defend all these receivers and all these weapons that the Dallas Cowboys have? And, I think because people, how they view the 49ers secondary, they're like, oh, it's a big issue. But I've been talking about all along, like, the secondary won't be the reason the 49ers lose games. And I'm not saying that they just have the most talent there, which I think Avery Thomas and Mosley played exceptionally well. But whatever D'Amico has done with his scheme to sometimes protect the guys on the outside or scheme up pressures or whatever it is, everything has kind of worked hand in hand. And the defense has been terrific. So, you know, they held, they held their quarterback to 230 passing yards. Dak Prescott, a guy who has thrown for a ton of yards and points all year, 230. And most of those came on like a last drive when the 49ers defense was playing prevent. And it's like, all right, we're just going to give you this dink and dunk stuff. So they move down the field. Before that, we're talking about a quarterback that could barely throw for not even 200 yards. I mean, D'Amico has been on point with however he's scheming things up. And they've had a lot of different things he's had to scheme around with the secondary, losing your starting corners early and often throughout the year, and being able to have to, you know, mix and match guys and figure out what's going to work. And throughout all of that, he's still put out a top three defense in the NFL. Exceptional job by D'Amico Ryans with what he's had to go through this year. Brandon Staley got a coaching job after 1 year of being the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans should be on that same path because he's been terrific. And it seems like the guys really buy into whatever he's selling.
Yeah. And the further the 49ers go, the more likely it is the team's going to interview him. And I think that's what worries me is once D'Amico gets that interview, because he seems like the type of guy who would knock an interview out of the park too. And as soon as they talk to him, it's like, oh no, this guy's smart. We got to get him now, maybe a year too early before we wait a year too long and someone else gets him as their head coach next year, or, you know, maybe even later this offseason. The one thing I will say about Staley and some other really young head coaches, because D'Amico Ryans is really young. He retired in 2016. The other thing I would say, and it's most of the really young head coaches around the NFL, Shanahan, McVay, Staley, basically any young head coach, they weren't good enough players to keep playing long enough, so they started coaching when they were 22 years old instead of playing. So they have 10, 15 years of experience just going through the ranks and coaching all different positions and growing up through the ranks of coaching that someone like D'Amico Ryans doesn't have. So that's where, you know, the 1 year coordinator, the resume would differ. But is it more impactful to have played all those years instead of been like tight ends coach at Southern Missouri State University or whatever when you were 20 years old? So maybe it doesn't matter. And at this point, you know, I thought last week maybe I thought he would get some interviews, but maybe I didn't think the 49ers would really lose either McDaniel or D'Amico Ryans. But the further they go, the more likely it is they start to lose some of those guys, I think.
Yeah, they can lose both of those guys. You know, D'Amico Ryans, you talked about, you know, the experience of coaching as opposed to playing. And I think they both kind of, you know, work in different ways. You know, when you play like 9 years or whatever D'Amico Ryans did at the middle linebacker position, which essentially is someone who has to have a great understanding of the front end, of the back end. He's probably played for several different coaches that have different philosophies. And you take something from all those coaches and try to figure out how you would, you know, call defense and those things. And then, you know, you talked about him retiring in 2016. Well, 2017, he's with the 49ers staff when they show up. So he's been there the entire time. He's been there with Robert Saleh in on every meeting, trying, you know, hey, you know, okay, what does he do there? He's directly tied to the position that Saleh coached, linebackers. So, you know, I think, yeah, he might not have the coaching experience as some of the other guys, but I do think because of his experiences and playing and all those things, and then now coaching, sitting behind a guy who had to figure it out, right? Saleh, he was a first-time defense coordinator with the 49ers. He had to figure it out. Took him some years. D'Amico Ryans, well, as Saleh's figuring it out, he's figuring it out with him. He's in all those meetings. They're working together. So, I think a lot of being a head coach is about being a leader. The X is no part from somebody that played as long as he did at the position he did. I don't think that would be an issue for him at all.
One more note on the defense. This relayed from Nick Wagner from Next Gen Stats. The 49ers played zone coverage 82% of the time Sunday. That's the highest rate Dak Prescott has faced in a game, not only this year, but his entire career, seeing zone 82% of the time. And it obviously worked against Dak Prescott. So I have a feeling he's going to see a lot more zone next year when the Dallas Cowboys have an opportunity to play again, because they're done this year. His QBR 23 and yards per dropback, 4.5, were his second lowest of the season, and his 53% completion percentage was his lowest of the season. So that's what the 49ers defense did to Dak. And actually, let's use that as a segue into the game balls, because the first one goes for me to D'Amico Ryans.
As it should, man. Yep, terrific absolutely. Job scheming up and slowing down an explosive team. Really shutting down the run game. They had 77 yards, but, you know, wasn't like big yards per carry or anything like that. I mean, just masterful job. And shout out to Zeke Elliott. He had one carry where he kind of like pressed it and kind of cut back. But for the most part, they had to work for everything that they got.
Yeah, they couldn't even get their offense rolling to a point where they could start calling the plays I think they wanted to, because their drives didn't last long enough. So fantastic job by the 49ers defense. I just kind of want to give D'Amico that game ball for the entire defense, because there's a lot of players individually that you could give one to. But the now renamed Tyshawn Samuel Commemorative Game Ball Award, Debo gets another one. He's gotten one every – I'm pretty sure this year, Croc, he's gotten one in every single game he's played for the 49ers from us.
Because Bengals, he only had like one catch for 22 yards and like one carry. I think he was coming back from injury. His usage wasn't very high. So that might be like a game he didn't get one. But yeah, the game ball award is definitely going to be named after him. Tyshawn Samuel, just amazing. Like I said, best player on the football field.
Absolutely. Best player on the field. Any other game balls to give out in this one for you? I want to give a game ball to Trent Williams as a token of his first playoff ever victory in his 11-year career. And sort of, you know, he gets the game ball for the entire offensive line, because you can't do that. You can't have zero sacks for 0 yards, and you can't run the ball for 38 times for 169 yards and two touchdowns without the offensive line playing really well. And I almost feel like Kittle should get that award with them as part of the offensive line, because, and I know in a lot of DFS leagues, and people were tweeting at me and friends were texting at me, and they're like, oh man, Kittle's not doing anything for my DFS team. It's like, well, he's doing things for the 49ers run game. Absolutely. And even when George Kittle only catches one ball for 18 yards, he's still really valuable to the 49ers, especially in the way they won this game on the ground.
Right. Still curious. I still feel like his usage is just too low. And he still can help. We talk about some of the lows that the 49ers had in the second half. And it's like, well, maybe if you can get George Kittle going, I don't know, one of your best players on offense, that might help. But obviously they didn't. My next game ball, and I know most people are going to think, you know, secondary. But like you said, 83% zone. So definitely D'Amico Ryan still scheming things up and helping the guys all over the field. So terrific job by Ambry Thomas and Mosley, but I'm not going to go that route. But I am going to go the route of Kyle Shanahan. You know, at a time where 49ers were down and out, 2-4, everybody was banking on him making all these different changes, including me saying, hey, you need to go with the rookie. He stuck to his guns, and he has his team playing, and he kept them believing. That's the biggest thing. To be able to keep a team believing and preparing at a high level when things aren't going great, that's a sign of a true leader. And I know guys like myself, I questioned that at times. But terrific job just getting the 49ers to this point, to where they are playing meaningful games in January, and then ultimately going out on the road, getting his team charged up, and beating a Dallas Cowboy team that is really high-powered. Shout out to Kyle Shanahan, just keeping everything together. I think he's probably solidified himself as like, yeah, I am who everybody thinks I am as a good coach in the NFL.
Yeah, good call there. The Cowboys were both outplayed and outcoached, clearly, I think, in this game. My last game ball, I forgot about Robbie Gould. He was nails. They needed him. They needed him to put some points on the board. So props to Robbie Gould, who hit 3 of 3 field goals and some long ones, multiple 50-yarders in that one. So, yeah, good game all around by the 49ers, offensively, defensively, and special teams. All right, I guess we got to get out of here, Croc. Let's go live Monday night after Cardinals-Rams, so we'll know exactly what those divisional round playoff games look like. And I know some folks wanted to go live with us post-game Sunday night. We couldn't do that, but let's do the Tuesday morning pod. Let's record that live on YouTube Monday night after Monday Night Football. Come hang out with us. We'll get into the chat and have a whole bunch of fun and start looking ahead to those Green Bay Packers. Thanks for making us your first listen here on Locked On 49ers. Find Croc with your second listen on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. You can find me daily on the network here covering the entire NFL on the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. If you want to know more about the sports betting world, check out Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with some expert analysis from Lee Sterling. And all of these podcasts are free on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.